and so clouded with pain and fear.
Easy now.
Bran drew her in.
You reach too far.
What good is it if I can't see?
You've seen it's tomorrow.
Doyle hefted his crossbow.
And we'll be ready for it.
Chapter 12. He woke with her curled around him, so he drew in the scent of her hair, her skin, with every breath. The coming day, and all it held, was now just a subtle lessening of the dark. So he indulged himself, let himself just be, breathing her in while his fingers tangled in the dark silk ropes of her hair, while her heart beat, slow and steady at rest, against his. He could imagine this, waking like this morning after morning, as his life spun out into weeks and months and years. He knew all about time, what it gave, what it took, what it offered. If he could, he would have used his gift, his legacy, for time and space, to take them somewhere else, some time else, where they could have this together as long as they lived. But they'd both sworn an oath. He knew time, he knew distance, and he knew duty. The compass he carried wasn't a toy. It wasn't simply a tool. It was, would always be, a responsibility. He accepted it, and all that went with it. And she, he knew, accepted her own duty, the responsibility that came with her gift. When her time ended, it was always about time. She would have no choice but to go back to her world, her people, and live her life where he couldn't follow. He didn't want to love her, didn't want to feel as if he always had, always would. But she twined around his heart just as she did his body. Would time, he wondered, ease the heartbreak he knew would come? He didn't need Sasha's sight to tell him he'd never forget Annika, would long for her, and what might have been as long as he drew breath. Yet what they worked for, fought for, what each of them would die for, was so much more than one man's wounded heart. They had time, he reminded himself. They had today, tomorrow, and the weeks to come. He shouldn't waste that precious time mourning the future. He brushed his lips over her temple, drew her in a little closer. She moved against him, just a lazy slide of skin against skin. It simply lit him up from his heart out. Though the dawn had yet to break, the morning birds yet to sing, he saw her smile as she tipped her head back. Good morning. It's a very good morning when I wake with your arms around me. Did you rest well?
Yeah, you're restful, Ani.
I like to be quiet with you like this, before the sky wakes. Before Doyle wakes, she said with a laugh in her voice. And everything is loud and fast. I can make you coffee.
No, you should stay right here.
Now he touched his lips lightly to hers, felt hers curve. You want to wake with sex. Running a hand down his flank, she wiggled closer. Your penis is already awake. She made him love and laugh and long, so he found it impossible to separate one reaction from the other.
I want you, Annika.
He kissed her again, soft and slow.
Do you want?
When you kiss me, when I feel your body against mine, I'm filled with want. Take my want, Sawyer, and I'll take yours. So simple, he thought, and so complete. He sank them both into the kiss, felt that even dawn held its breath to give them this time, this precious time. Gently, his hands moved over her, so he could savor every inch. The soft skin, the subtle curves, the long lines of torso and miraculous legs. Tenderly, his lips followed. Taking her want, he thought, giving her his. She offered, accepted. Turning to him, melting against him as if everything she was had been waiting only for him. Every move, every shift, every touch pulsed under his skin. Warmth and light and beauty that captured his heart like cupped hands. Her breath merging with his in a soul-deep kiss. Her breast perfect in his hand. Her hips rising up as he glided her over the first peak. In that moment,
That hushed moment between the dark and the light, she was, would be, his only and his all.
Annika.
Overwhelmed, he buried his face in the curve of her neck.
I need you.
His words shimmered through her. She knew poetry and song and story, but no words she knew had ever moved her so deeply. To be needed by him lifted her heart, sent it soaring. Even as tears blurred her eyes, she laid her hands on his cheeks, lifted his face so she could look at him.
I would give you all you need. Be one with me, before the sun comes. Before the sun, she said again, and arched up in welcome.
And if she wept as they moved together, she could tell herself it was only from joy, only from beauty, only from knowing he needed her. She took the joy with her, through the push-ups and lunges, through breakfast. She kept it clutched tight when Sawyer brought the recorder out to the table.
It may not sit well after a meal, but everybody should hear this.
Another meet?
In a way, he told Riley. From the bedroom recorder, just after midnight.
If we have to hear Malmont getting it on with some unfortunate working girl,
it's Nereza.
Sawyer waited a beat, pressed playback. For a moment, there was a kind of living silence, like a throaty hum. Then what seemed to Annika like a crack in the air. Malmont's voice trembled, but Annika couldn't be certain if it came from excitement or fear.
I've waited.
When Nereza spoke, it was somehow cloying, like honey dripping from a nest of bees.
And all is as I wish. All is as you wish. No, my pet. All is not as I wish until the stars are mine, and those who keep them from me are screaming. All is in place, so all will be as you wish. Please, my queen, I've waited.
The laugh made Annika shudder.
Will you not offer me refreshment first?
Your cup.
But not yet sweetened.
A moment later, Malmont hissed.
Ah, perfect. The pain only adds to the potency and the flavor.
Blood, Bran murmured. It would be his blood, freely given.
Your room here is pleasing. I will stay here an hour with you.
An hour? But you won't live with me here while I find the star for you.
In this place, one for mortals, for humans. I make my own.
The disgust in her voice rang clear, then turned to amusement.
Do not sulk, my pet. I'll give you paradise for an hour. Take off your clothes so I can see the progress of your transformation, and then you and I will sate our appetites.
Transformation. Riley nodded at Sasha. You said he wouldn't be what he was.
But I don't know yet what he's becoming.
Ah, yes. You too are pleasing. Is there pain? It comes sharply, then passes. But you like the pain. It tells you you're becoming. I'm stronger. And will be stronger still. I'll be invincible, immortal. And together we'll rule all the worlds.
Of course.
She lies, Annika whispered. Can't you hear the lie? There was a sound, like a whistle of wind, a low growl. Thudding, harsh grunting, hungry sucking, animal pants. And twice an agonized cry cut off as if sliced with a blade. Slaps sharp and ringing, moans like the damned begging. Under the table, Annika clasped her hands together.
This is not what we do. This isn't sex. It's like the sharks. This is only feeding, without beauty or kindness, or heart.
Sex isn't always kind, but yeah, this. Riley shifted in her seat. Be grateful we don't have video.
More.
There was a guttural sound to Malmont's voice. Something not completely human.
An hour. You said an hour.
Did I? After a laugh, Nereza said, sleep now. Yes, yes, sleep and dream before you bore me. Soon, my pet, you'll bring me all I want, all that's mine. Fail, and your blood will more than sweeten my wine. Again, there was a kind of crack, then silence.
That's it, Sawyer told them.
More than enough. After grabbing her water glass, Sasha drank deep. She wanted to see him, so there has to be something physically transforming.
Don't look at me, Riley said when Sasha did.
I'm a hereditary 3 nights a month girl.
But you said there's pain when you change.
Some. It's just part of it. She's not making him a lichen. That change is rapid, and the moon's not full. My money's on demon.
And I agree, Bran said. So we'll be fighting a god, a small army, and a demon.
Rising, Sawyer picked up the recorder.
Awesome. I'll put this back.
Though the recording had shaken her, Annika reached back for the joy of dawn. She held it close through talk of battle, for Sasha felt certain there would be a battle that day, and instead slipped over the side of the boat to find what Sawyer called a tracker, so Bran could send it far away. She watched Sawyer strap on the special gun for in the water.
Okay, this location officially takes us more than halfway around the island. After zipping her wetsuit, Riley picked up her gun. The gods can't accuse us of not being thorough or freaking tenacious.
I wish I could tell you I felt something, like I did the day we found the Fire Star.
It's not all on you. Riley slapped Sasha's arm. 6 of us in this. I forgot, with the XXX Malmont audio. I think I've picked up something on the Bay of Sighs. Need to dig more when we get back, but I think I'm digging in the right spot. So if we don't hit today, maybe I'll come up with something that helps. Meanwhile, ready to rock and roll?
The first cave's at 2 o'clock.
As he strapped on his tanks, Doyle raised his chin to indicate direction.
About 15 feet under. Then let's hit it.
Sawyer sat on the side, rolled back into the water. No matter how often they'd tried and failed in the search, swimming with her friends always brought Annika pleasure. Today, dread clawed at that pleasure, at the joy of dawn. She would fight if a fight came. She would never, never shirk her duty. But the image Sasha had painted kept floating into her mind. Today, when she circled the others in the water, it wasn't in play, but to make certain everyone stayed close. She saw the cave, and quickly, but didn't arrow toward it. Instead, she kept pace with the others. She went into the mouth with Sawyer, and though she didn't need it to see, found herself grateful for the light Bran made. There was a cleanness to it, because it came from the good, and illuminated the fanning plants, the small fish that darted among them. A broken shell, a shattered home, only increased the dread. They didn't fan out until well inside. Even then, Annika watched her friends more than searched. Riley swam up a wall, peering into crevices, small holes, while Doyle went deeper, and Sawyer pulled himself up on a narrow ledge. For a moment, she nearly panicked that she wouldn't be able to keep them all in sight. Then she saw a starfish, red as fire, sleeping on a rock. It soothed her, the peace of it, the prettiness. She swam closer, thinking to pet it, and realized it wasn't sleeping. Charmed, she cupped it in her hands, felt a warmth from it, and when it swam away toward the mouth of the cave, she smiled. It seemed as if lights had sparkled in its wake. She wanted to swim after it, to swim in those sparkles of light. But her friends, ashamed that even for a few seconds she hadn't been vigilant, she turned in the water, saw Riley tap her watch. So she did swim through the sparkles, though she lost sight of the starfish as Sawyer went first. But she felt that joy again, and wanted to go above, talk to Sawyer about swimming through the stars. At the very moment it struck her, she heard the sighs,
heard the song. Still distant, but closer than before. A guide, of course. A guide. And the sighs and songs calling them, calling her. Not this cave, but another. If she could catch the starfish, the guide, it would lead them. Excitement burst through her. She kicked her legs, reached out to touch Sawyer. He glanced back at her as he swam out of the cave. And looking back at her, at the delight on her face, he didn't see the ambush. The flechette hit him high on the right shoulder. Annika heard the terrible sound, saw the blood spill into the water. She burst out of the cave like fury, only to have Sawyer shove her back and behind him as he reached across his body to draw his own gun with his left hand. She didn't think, but acted, punching out light from the bracelets, ripping it through the water to send men tumbling back. And Bran's lightning joined them. A spear sliced out and into a man's leg from Sasha's harpoon. It was blood and madness. Sawyer's blood, the blood of men. And the sharks came to hunt, just as in the painting. She knew what to do, to stay close. And though her stomach twisted when one of the sharks closed those jaws around a man, she told herself they were the enemy. As predicted, that enemy turned away to fire at the sharks. Sawyer signaled, closed the hand of his wounded arm around his compass. Prepared to travel, Annika shot out more light. And as she felt the pull, the swirl, something struck her hip. Sharp, shocking. Her vision blurred and she slipped away. Blind with pain, Sawyer collapsed on the deck of the boat.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Get us out of here. I'm not sure I've got another one in me. Let me see.
Face grim, Bran dropped down beside him as Doyle yanked off his fins.
Ani!
Though her hand shook, Sasha reloaded the harpoon.
She didn't come back with us. She's not with us.
What?
Shoving Bran aside, Sawyer lunged to his feet.
I had her. I had her.
She dropped away. I could see it. I couldn't stop it. A dart in her hip. I couldn't.
She got no further. Sawyer vanished.
Christ, I'm going back in. We've got company.
Doyle's statement stopped Riley from jumping back in the water.
We're not leaving them down there.
We're not leaving anybody.
Doyle stepped out of the wheelhouse, grabbed his sword. They swarmed out of the sky, swooping over the dive boat 50 yards away, diving toward theirs. Though blade and bullet were coated with Bran's potion and burst dozens into ash, the pitched and ugly battle took precious time, enough for them to helplessly watch the other boat speed away as they fought.
They've got them!
Weeping, Sasha grabbed Sawyer's gun, fired over and over.
We have to go after them.
They've defenses of their own.
As they destroyed the last of the birds, a gray fog rolled over the sea, swallowed the other boat. Bran threw light at it, but it bounced off, like a ball striking a wall.
Bitch.
We go after them anyway, Riley insisted. They don't have that big a lead.
More than this boat can cover, and you're bleeding, Gwyn.
Doyle set down his sword, pulled the flap from the slice in her wetsuit.
Yeah, one grazed me. Just grazed.
She looked down at her side.
Just a flesh wound.
You wouldn't have that if you hadn't pushed me aside down there. Don't ever do that again. Riley raised her eyebrows at Sasha.
You're welcome.
I mean it. God damn it. I can handle myself as well as you.
Settle down now, Bran soothed. And you, sit down and let me have a look. Doyle, you'd best take us back to shore.
We can't. We can't go back. We can't leave them.
Foy, we need to deal with wounds, get more weapons, and we need to find them. On my life, we will find them. We'll bring them home.
She dropped down, covered her face with her hands.
I felt her go numb. A tranquilizer gun, I think. I felt her slipping away from us, but I couldn't reach her. It happened too fast. I couldn't get to her.
Then believe Sawyer did.
He's shot.
Believe, Bran repeated. We'll bring them home safe. Retreat isn't surrender.
Doyle turned the boat.
We'll get them.
She woke, muddled, her head aching, her hip tender and sore. For a moment, a blessed moment, Annika thought she'd had a terrible dream. But as she tried to reach out for Sawyer, she felt the kiss and flow of water all around. The sea, the men, the blood, the sharks. As she struggled to clear her mind, make her body move, she saw, yes, she was in the water. But the water had glass walls and a closed glass top, like a box. And she had no clothes. Though she didn't have the ingrained modesty of land people, Annika understood that to have been stripped without knowledge and consent, to be trapped without covering in a box of water, was a deep and terrible violation. She pressed her hands on the glass, looked out. The cave. She believed it to be the cave, though there were changes. Lights and counters or tables, and machines, and men with guns. Her heart leaped, then froze when she saw Sawyer. They had chained him, his arms over his head. Blood stained the bandage on his shoulder. They'd taken his wetsuit so he wore only the trunks, and they'd chained him so his feet barely met the floor. His head drooped, and she recognized he was still unconscious. Alive, she comforted herself. She could see his chest move with his breath. They were alive, and she had to get out. Help him. She lifted her arms to try to shoot light at the glass, hoping to break it, but saw the thick black covering over each cuff. Though she pulled, tried to tear, she couldn't remove it. And when she shot light at the glass, it was weak, too weak. So she beat her fists against it.
There's our little mermaid.
The words slithered through the water like eels. Head Annika whirling, searching for the source. He walked into the chamber, a small, thin man who made her think of a snake. He wore all black, a shirt with sleeves rolled to his elbows, pants with a thick black belt and silver buckle. His hair, black as well, slicked back from his face, leaving the cruel lines of it unframed. Sharp brows, a thinly smiling mouth, long, hard eyes of a shocking, nearly beautiful pale blue.
We couldn't remove your bracelets, not without slicing off your hands. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
There was a singing quality to his voice. It might have been beautiful, like his eyes, but for the coldness of it. He stepped up to the glass wall, studied her.
How do you breathe? No gills that show? It's fascinating. But we have people who will figure all that out, one way or the other. But where are my manners? I'm Eliadine, and I'll be working with you and your companion. The work can go easily, or not so easily. This will be your choice. Mr. Marmont will be here directly. He'll be very pleased to meet you.
Yadine glanced at Sawyer.
Both of you.
She turned her back on him, curled up. A small defiance, but all she had.
I can see you're a bit upset. I'll leave you to sulk for the moment. It's time to wake up your friend.
She whirled back, her hands and fists, her fists pressed to the glass. Ignoring her, Yadine picked something out of a tray and broke it under Sawyer's nose. Sawyer coughed, wheezed, jerked. Though the movement had the stain on his shoulder spreading, he tried to swing, tried to kick out. Yadine only laughed.
Ah, the defiance of youth. It's so much more entertaining to work with someone who has it. Yes, we have your lovely friend,
he added when Sawyer's gaze fixed on Annika.
In a habitat created just for her. The others deserted you.
His voice softened, all but crooned.
Ran away to save themselves. Left you and her to die. Or worse. It will be worse, so very much worse, unless you give me what I want. Do I look like I give a fuck what you want? Oh, so young, full of that defiance, and handsome.
He scraped a nail lightly down Sawyer's bare chest.
For now.
He went back to a counter, lifted a tray, tipping it to show Sawyer what it held. When he got no reaction, he turned the tray toward Annika. She saw knives, so many knives, and things that gleamed silver and sharp and would clip like scissors. For a moment, she went mad, beating against the glass, kicking against it, screaming so the sound came through the tank and its speakers in a high, thin wail.
You don't want me to hurt him? How sweet. Perhaps I'll wait on these.
He set them down.
But what will you give me for my patience? Mr. Malmont very much wants to see you in your true form. Be what you are, and perhaps I won't hurt him. Don't. He's lying. Don't give him anything.
Yadin turned, grabbed a weighted sap from the table, struck it viciously across Sawyer's face. As blood spurted, Annika shot up to the top of the tank, threw herself against the lid.
Crude, but effective. Shall I do it again? Yes, why not?
He struck the other side of Sawyer's face. When Sawyer went limp, Annika spun down, swirled out her tail.
Ah, fascinating. And mesmerizing. You are a rare creature.
The tank trembled when she whirled, fast, fast, then struck the glass with her tail. She whirled again, struck again. Prepared to strike a third time, but Yadin pressed some sort of stick against Sawyer's chest. The scream came first, ripping her heart. Then his body shook and shook, with his eyes rolled back white. And the sounds he made were worse than the scream. Yadin turned again as Sawyer gasped, as his head fell on his chest.
That was a light touch, do you understand? Do that again, and I'll fry his brains in his skull.
She sank to the bottom, stared her fury through the glass.
Better. Now, why don't we... Mr. Malmont, as you see, we're making some progress.
Unlike Yadin, Malmont wore white, the shirt cuffed at his wrists. Though dark glasses shielded his eyes, Annika felt the burn of them as he stared at her.
Glorious. She's glorious. I believe I'll keep her, at least for a time. Be sure not to damage her, at least in any way that shows.
Dismissing Annika, Malmont turned to Sawyer.
Not so cocky now, I see, but bleeding and beaten, chained like an animal. You might have had millions, but here you are.
He stepped over, picked up the compass.
And I have the prize after all.
As if amused, Malmont picked up the prod Yadin had set aside, turned it in his hand, then jabbed it viciously into Sawyer's belly. Annika bowed her head, her tears sliding into the water as the terrible stick left small black burns on Sawyer's skin, as it made his body shake and shake. Then Malmont plunged his fist into Sawyer's belly, and his body swung back so high, so violently, the shackles gouged his wrists bloody. When Malmont lifted the stick as if to whip it across Sawyer's face, Yadin stepped forward.
Mr. Malmont.
Malmont whirled, his lips peeling back, showing fangs. Hastily, Yadin lifted his hands. Both fear and fascination flickered over his face, but he spoke in that same singing tone.
You can, of course, do as you wish, but if you want information from him, it requires a certain delicacy and patience.
Malmont made a sound like the hiss of a snake, but he lowered his arm. The hand holding the prod shook before he tossed it to the other man.
Perhaps you're right. Do your job. Of course. Now, Mr. King, Mr. Malmont is very interested in how this device operates. If you explain, there'll be no need for more pain. Then we can discuss the stars of fortune.
His voice was hoarse, breathless, so he had to speak slowly. His left eye had swollen shut, but the right stared that defiance out of the blood and bruising.
Sure. Boy Scout manual. You can look up how to work a compass. I like your style.
With a smile, Yadin shoved the prod into Sawyer's chest. The oath was sacred, never to use the siren song on humans. But these men, Annika thought, as Sawyer's body convulsed again, these men weren't human. This was evil, and she would do what she could. She drew it up from inside her, the song used to lure men, to enslave them. And lifting her head, gave it voice. Yadin glanced back at her, the cruel smile curving his lips.
She sings. Perhaps a dirge for her companion. It's...
Then his mouth softened, his eyes glazed.
So beautiful. Can you hear it? It's so beautiful.
The melody poured out of her, sweet, so alluring. Through the water, her eyes glowed green. The men at the entrance to the chamber put down their guns, walked forward as if in a trance. Though Sawyer's head lulled, his body relaxed, his lips curved. She heard him murmur her name, as if in a dream. Malmont grabbed Yadin's arm, yanked.
What the hell is wrong with you? She is beyond compare. She must be free. Have you lost your... a siren song?
Rushing to the tray, Malmont picked up a knife, spun behind Sawyer, held it to his throat.
One note more, one more, and I slit his throat.
She stopped, pressed a hand to her mouth to show silence. Before he withdrew the knife, Malmont slid the edge lightly over Sawyer's throat to draw blood.
One note more, he repeated. Snap out of it, he ordered Yadin, and tossed the knife down. She ruled me.
On a laugh, Yadin moved closer to the tank.
I was a puppet on her string. How did you resist? Obviously, I have a stronger will. Punish her. Of course.
Yadin went to one of the machines, turned a control. The water filled with pain, snapped and burned. That high-pitched scream sounded through the speakers as Annika's body thrashed in the water.
Stop! 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 She's no good to you, dead or damaged.
Sawyer twisted his bloody wrists in the shackles.
That'll do, Malmont said, and as if he'd merely paused for a drink,
once again picked up the compass.
I've only to think of a location, coordinates, as I understand it, and this will take me, and through time as well.
Malmont tapped the compass, tried to turn it, searched for a mechanism.
Where is the watch? It's not as simple as that, isn't it? We'll keep it simple for the maiden voyage, to the villa and back again.
Malmont closed his eyes, murmured the coordinates he'd memorized, and stayed exactly where he was.
It's not Ruby's slippers, you idiot.
He'd keep them focused on him, Sawyer thought. Keep their attention away from Annika. If he could somehow disable Malmont, she could sing. She could escape. Nothing mattered more. It cost him another vicious shock. When he could breathe again, he hissed out a laugh.
Yeah, that'll work. Keep that up, see where it gets you. Convince him.
With a nod, Yadin picked up a knife, set it down, a stiletto, laid it back, settled on his scalpel.
I can slice him, dice him, clip off his thumbs, put out his eyes. It will take some time, and I'll enjoy it. But there are some who take the pain, And there is a quicker way.
Yadin turned, gestured toward Annika.
Convince him, Malmal said again.
Yadin turned the controls, and Annika's world became agony. Through it, through her own screams, she heard Sawyer shouting, cursing, begging. When the pain stopped, when she could only sink weakly to lie on the bottom of the tank, she looked through the glass at his bruised, bloody face, at the grief in his eyes, could only shake her head.
Don't give them what they want, she thought, as hard as she could. Don't give them anything.
I have to. Don't hurt her. Don't hurt her again. I can't tell you how it works. I can't tell you.
He all but screamed it when Yadin reached for the controls again.
I have to show you. Don't hurt her. Leave her alone, and I'll show you.
It's love, you see.
Yadin lifted his hands.
A man might suffer through unimagined pain for a cause and die for it. But love, it defeats him.
Malmal signed to one of the men.
Let him down. If you try anything, anything, Yadin will turn up the current. She won't die, but she'll never be the same. I said I'd show you.
Sawyer dropped to his knees when the chain unhooked. Chapter 13. When Sawyer reached out his cuffed hands for the compass, Malmont kicked him sharply in the ribs. In the tank, Annika slammed her tail into the glass. Yadin turned, wagged a finger at her.
Do you think I'll just hand it back to you? I have to hold it. It's the only way to pass it to another.
He bought time, mind spinning through a coughing fit.
The first traveling has to be done with me. It's the only way to pass it and give someone else the right to use it. Fuck it, Malmont. I don't make the rules.
He looked up then, so far into the pain he'd moved beyond it.
All I'm asking is you don't hurt her. You're going to kill me once you've got the compass. That's the way it goes. But you've got no reason to hurt her. She's caught.
Malmont leaned down, gripped Sawyer by the throat. Nails longer, sharper than they should have been, pricked through the skin.
Where is the fire star?
I don't. Hit her again, Yadin. No, no, no. Bran's hidden it with magic. I can take you to where it is, but I swear to God, I don't know if I can get to it. Actually get to it. I can take you. Show you. For fuck's sake, Malmont, I'm telling you the truth. I'll do anything you want. Don't hurt her.
So it's the witch. Bring Berger in, and send for Commander Trake.
He ordered one of the men, and rose to walk to the tank. Staring at Annika, he spoke to Yadin.
Put a hole in him. Non-lethal, of course.
Annika beat on the glass as Yadin chose a knife. Her eyes pleaded.
Is he telling me the truth? If you lie...
Malma watched her face as Sawyer choked off a scream.
I'll have his thumbs removed next.
She kept her eyes on Malmont's, on those dark glasses, pressed both hands to her heart as if swearing.
That'll do.
Malmont turned. Yadin slid the knife out from between Sawyer's ribs, and another man strode into the cave. He stood tall, straight, with Viking blue eyes and close-cropped hair so blonde it read nearly white. He studied Annika.
So it's true.
His voice was brisk, lightly accented.
The world is full of mysteries. Will you fuck her?
No need to be crude, Franz.
Just curious. I would, just to see how it could be done.
He shifted, looked down at Sawyer.
Messy business. A bullet in the brain's more efficient. I prefer my way.
After a shrug for Yadin, Berger gave Malmont his attention.
The remaining targets just arrived back at their base.
Riggs, the Seer. You have her description.
I do. The blonde. the quite fetching blonde. You can put a bullet in her brain.
Malmont watched Annika's reaction, pleased when she curled up to weep.
And the sorcerer, wounded only. Do you have a preference where? You're the expert. Commander,
Malmont continued as Trake came in.
Mr. Berger is about to do his work. Take a strike force. Wait for Berger to complete his task. Then move in. Capture the survivors. I want Gwyn and Killian alive. Damage this McCleary however you need, and see that he's well restrained. Yes, sir. And search their villa. I want whatever computers, notes, maps, all their papers taken to my villa.
Malmont dismissed them simply by turning his back and walking to Sawyer.
Get up.
Gritting his teeth, Sawyer managed to get to his feet.
What are the coordinates for the Firestar's location?
Sawyer gave him longitude, latitude. Malmont walked to a computer, keyed it in.
An island in the South Pacific. How ordinary. It's uninhabited, and the star's hidden, shielded. He did a spell. I don't know how it works. I can take you, but I don't know if that breaks the spell. You don't have to kill Sasha. Listen. Listen, she can be useful to you. Nereza wants her gift. You can—
Malmont hit him with a backhand that knocked Sawyer back 10 feet.
I know what Nereza wants. You're not fit to speak her name. Speak it again, and I will give the mermaid more pain than any mind can survive. I'll do what you want. How long will it take to go to the star, to come back? The traveling itself? 2 minutes? You'll have 90 seconds. You.
He gestured to one of the men.
You'll take him there and back. But do you really think I'd allow you to take me? To attempt whatever plan you might have working in your fevered brain with me? If you take more than 90 seconds, if you attempt to escape, to take the compass, she dies in agony. 90 seconds isn't— It's what you have.
Malmont consulted his watch.
Yadin.
Though something like disapproval crossed his face, Yadin sent the current into the tank.
Again. Stop, goddammit. I said I'd do what you want. Now you know the price if you don't. Turn up the current for the tank. Be prepared to switch it on. Draw your weapon, you moron, and I'd advise a sturdy headlock.
The man stepped behind Sawyer, hooked a beefy arm around his scored throat, held the gun at Sawyer's ear.
Excellent. 90 seconds. Beginning now.
He put the compass in Sawyer's cuffed hands. Sawyer kept his eyes on Annika, said her name, and vanished. At the villa, Bran treated Riley's wound while the others gathered weapons. Has to be the cave, right? It's where Sasha warned Sawyer and Annika. I know we could have them at the villa, but—
We can't be sure. It's more difficult to transport 2 wounded and unconscious prisoners into the hills. You have to be still until I've done this.
It's a fucking scratch. We need to move.
It's more than a fucking scratch, and we need to know where to move. I said we'll get them back.
Doyle walked in, gun strapped at both hips, the sword on his back, a knife in his boot.
I've been a soldier more than a couple of lifetimes. I don't leave fellow soldiers or friends behind.
We're not getting them back fussing over a little cut. If not for Bran, you'd need 12 stitches at least on that little cut. Sasha walked in with a crossbow, a quiver of bolts, and the gun she'd only fired at targets holstered at her hip.
Okay, all right. Then I say it's time for that chain reaction.
I'm with the doc on this.
When Bran said nothing to Riley or Doyle, Sasha sat down.
And if we're wrong, we'll have wasted the trap. I need to see. No one said that, but everyone's thinking it. Do you think I can't feel it? It'd help, sure. But Sash, we all know you can't force it. Why can't I? she snapped back at Riley. Why can't I pull it in when it's needed, at a time like this, when two of us are... Why don't you tell me what to do? She demanded of Bran. Why don't you tell me?
Because it's yours, Agra.
He took her shoulders, kissed her brow.
Because it's only you who can demand it.
Then I will. I do. Cast a circle. Cast a spell. Help me.
With all I have, but there's no spell. It's your gift, your mind and heart. Only you can open it.
I need air. I need room. I need to breathe. Desperate, she rushed outside, struggled to calm herself, to settle. When Bran followed, she pressed her fingers to her eyes. He drew them away.
Trust yourself, as I do.
As we do, Riley corrected, and glanced behind her at Doyle.
Yeah, we do.
Help me. Bran brought the hand he held to his heart.
Feel me. Open to me.
Love, trust, faith. Bran.
Open to yourself, Foy. Let it come. You're so strong. Set the fear aside for everyone, and just open.
She felt his heart beat under her hand. Steady. Steady. Closed her eyes and counted the beats. His, hers, theirs, hers, hers. Oh, they're hurt. The pain, it's horrible, and the fear is worse. She fears for him, tries to fight, but they hurt him. He fears for her, tries to fight. They hurt her. Trapped. She's trapped. Water surrounds her, but it's cruel. He enjoys hurting them. He knows how. And Malmont, he's not just a man. His eyes, he hides them, but...
Where, Sasha? Where are Annika and Sawyer?
In the cave. Blood and death in the cave. Locked in a tank of water. Hurt. Losing heart. Weeping. Sawyer, so much blood. One chance. He feels one chance. I can't see it, not all. So many and so much pain. Sawyer. Wait. Wait. He's gone. He's gone. Dead? No, no, no. She shook her head at Riley. Gone. Somewhere else. I don't. As she spoke, a light, bright as noon, burst in the hills, and the thunder followed.
Sniper's nest.
Doyle grabbed Riley's arm.
Inside. Get inside.
Time for that chain reaction, Mr. Wizard. Riley rushed inside, grabbed her weapons. And time for us to move. They're coming. Filled with her power, Sasha picked up her bow. Men. Malmont's men. They're coming here. They mean to take us.
They won't.
Bran lifted fisted hands, beat his fists together. The hills above the villa bloomed with light. One chance, Sawyer thought, and prayed he'd timed it right. He might not live through it, but he had one chance to save Annika. He felt the gun against his head, the arm tight at his throat, and did something he'd never done. He let go. The arm dropped away and there was nothing, not even a sound. He gripped the compass, brought Annika into his mind. He'd never tried to shift within a shift, but he'd already counted off 60 precious seconds. He had to make it back to her. If he couldn't get her away, at least she wouldn't be alone. In the tank, Annika lay still, eyes closed. She would fight again, beat and beat against the glass when she found the strength again. Now her body was weak, shaken. Only will kept her from simply drifting away. She hoped they would kill her. They meant to kill Sawyer, she understood that. He would die if he came back. And he would come back. He had too much honor to leave her behind. She knew he hadn't told Malmont the whole truth. He still protected the star. She believed he had a plan, would try. But he was hurt, bleeding, all but broken. With all her heart, she wished he would travel on, be safe. Then she heard something like thunder. The water in the tank trembled. When she pushed herself up, her vision went gray. But she saw Maman rush out of the cave, shouting, saw Yadine reach for the controls. Then Sawyer was with her, like a dream, in the water. He lifted his bound hands up, put his arms around her. Light flashed to blinding. The tank rocked and shook as if by a giant's hand. She heard screaming, such terrible screaming. Then they flew. She wrapped her arms around him, felt his blood wet and warm on her skin. I've got you, he said in her ear. You came for me. Before she could weep, they tumbled to the floor. She heard gunshots, shouting, saw more lights flash, felt Sawyer go limp under her. She managed to lift her head, look at him. His face, white, bone white under the blood and the bruising. And from his shoulder, his side, more blood seeped. She wanted to stand and fight, but had no strength left, not even to bring the gift of her legs. So she did all she could, and tried to shield his body with hers. Now she did drift, for a moment, for an hour. She couldn't know. Dimly, she heard a voice. Riley. Fuckers won't try that again anytime soon. Now let's get this rescue party. Jesus! Jesus Christ! Bran! Hands on her, lifting her. No, no, Sawyer. He's hurt. They hurt him. Sawyer.
Bran's got him, gorgeous. We've got him.
Doyle, take her out, into the pool. She needs the water. Riley, more towels. We need to stop this bleeding so Bran can work on him. Sasha dropped beside Bran. How bad?
Very. He's lost a lot of blood. I think his cheekbone shattered, and his eye.
Let me help. I can take some of it.
It's too much, Sasha.
I can do it. I can help. She laid a hand on Sawyer's cheek, gave a shocked cry. Oh, God.
Stop. It's more than you can do.
It's not. Work through me. Desperation, pity, love, all tangled in her. You said you trusted me. Trust me now. Riley hurried back, took one look at Sasha's pale, sweaty face, at Bran's utter focus.
She dropped down, pressed a towel to the wound on Sawyer's side.
Come on, Deadeye, come on. I'm damned if you're going to bleed out on this kitchen floor.
She looked up at Doyle.
You shouldn't leave her alone.
She's doing better, and asked me to see Sawyer. She'll do better yet if I can tell her. Good Christ, the bastard's worked on him. That's enough there, Sasha.
A little more. I can do more. Doyle, tell her he's going to be all right. Then get Bran's big kit. Riley?
Blood slowed, but I can't stop it.
Bran will. He will. I see us together, all of us. On a hill with a circle of stones, and the sea is blue. I see it, and we're six. Get the kit, Doyle, and tell Annika he'll be all right. I'm here.
She came in, naked, legs shaky.
I believe.
Here you go.
Doyle swung off his coat, wrapped her in it.
You're cold.
He came for me. He tricked them, and he came for me. He risked all for me, for us, for the stars. He is courage.
Tears streamed as she knelt down.
Let me help.
Malmont crawled. The light, the terrible light, had blinded him. All he saw was the dark and the pain. Even now, with the screams and thundering dropped away into a brutal silence, his body burned. He smelled his own smoking skin and hot blood. But he lived, so he crawled over the scorched stony ground. He craved water, cool, cool water, for his body, for his throat. He would have given half his wealth for a cup of water. Then he heard her voice, and trembled.
You failed me. No, my queen. No. We were ambushed, tricked. But even now, soldiers are taking them. You will have all six. Please. They hurt me.
Your soldiers failed and are gone from this world as all the others you brought here.
Please, my love, my queen. The light burned me. My eyes. Help me.
Full of pain, he crawled toward the sound of her voice and was struck back.
Why should I help one who failed me? I gave you a gift, and what have you given me? All I am, all I have.
Blindly, he reached up.
You are nothing. You have nothing but what I grant you.
You had two tasks, my pet. The stars, the guardians.
For these two tasks, I would have given you eternal life, eternal youth, and all you could wish for. You have none of them. I will. I swear it. I won't fail.
You're blind, weak, nothing but a broken shell.
Help me.
Though every inch burned, he crawled again.
Help me. Help me heal. I'll bring you the stars. I'll bring them bathed in the blood of the guardians.
You want to see.
Restore my eyes, I beg you. I can't find the stars, can't kill those who stand against you if I can't see.
You want to see, she repeated, and the laugh in her voice made him tremble. And if I grant you this, you will pledge yourself to my service?
I am your servant. I will be your servant. Have mercy.
Mercy is a weakness. I am strength. I'll give you your sight again, my pet. I'll let you see. His eyes seemed to boil in his head. He screamed, screamed until his throat bled. Covered his burning eyes as he tried to claw his way back from the pain. The tears he wept were bloody. Through the screams, through the agony, he heard her laugh. And through the dark, he began to see. Her hair flew around her face in coils, and on her face lived a mad satisfaction as he writhed and shrieked. Still, the man and what that man had nearly become held out its hands to her, a supplicant. Never ask for mercy. She smiled at him, almost kindly. And do not fail me again. There, crawl back in your hole. She gestured toward the cave. And await my pleasure.
Don't leave me. Take me with you. Take me with you so I may serve you.
You wish to go with me? As if considering, she circled him where he lay, her long black gown rustling like wings.
I'll grow strong again. I'll bring you the stars. I'll bring you the heads of the guardians.
Words and promises mean nothing. Get me what I want. She leaned down toward him. Or the pain they gave you will be as nothing to my displeasure.
I will heal. I will give you all you want. Take me with you, my queen.
Very well. Take my hand. Shaking with gratitude, he reached out. The hand he put in hers was blackened, the skin peeling in sheets, and the nails an inch long, thickened, yellow, curved like claws.
If you were not what I made you, what you're becoming, you would be gone like the rest of those you brought here, those who failed. Remember that, my pet.
Pain came again, a shock of it, as if he'd been ripped out of fire into ice. The cold nearly shattered him. His bones seemed to creak and hiss. Then came the dark, complete. When he blinked, he could see dimly. Some sort of room or chamber, with chains and shackles hanging from walls of stone. The birds that weren't birds hunched on perches, eyes glinting yellow in the darkness.
You will bide here. When you have become, I will have use for you. The dark, The cold.
Ah, yes. There is still some of that in you. Some that yearns for light, for heat. Very well.
Candles and torches burst into flame. On their perches, the birds that weren't birds shrieked and fanned their wings. The walls, stone polished to a gleam, shot out dozens of reflections. Nereza, in her black gown, a blood-red ruby at her throat. The birds, yellow eyes glinting, wings folding in. And someone, something, crouched on the floor. Its skin rawly red and scorched black, peeling in sheets and flaps to reveal something else beneath. Hands and feet like claws, hair burned away to a scalp where glistening nubs rose. Eyes, yellow like the birds, slitted like a snake, that stared back in abject horror. It moved when he moved. It rose on clawed feet when he rose.
What am I?
Between for now.
Nereza flicked a finger at a flap of his skin. When it dropped away, fell to the floor, birds swooped down to fight over it.
I'm a monster.
A demi-demon, and in my service. Remember the pain, my pet. Remember who restored your sight. Remember your oath.
I'm a man.
You're mine, and will be for eternity or until I end you.
She walked to a door he hadn't seen, opened it.
You'll know when I have use for you.
He tried to run to the door, stumbled and fell. Once again he tried to crawl, but there was no door, no way out. Only the stone, polished like glass. Polished like mirrors that showed him his own image everywhere he looked. Malmont crawled into a corner, hunched and hunkered there with all he'd become staring back at him. He began to laugh, and laugh, until the chamber echoed with the sound. And the sound was madness.
Chapter 14. Sawyer slept deep. Dreams joined him, but quietly, soothingly. Voices. Annika's soft singing lulled him. Sasha's joined it on a murmur that offered peace. Then Riley's, a kind of determined cheer. Bran came into the dream, and Doyle, with a briskness that added hope. Once he saw his grandfather, sat with him by a campfire. In its flames, his grandfather's face was young as his own. As they spoke of legacies and stars and gods, as the moon floated white overhead. And he floated, as if inside a clear bubble. Gently, gently over seas, over lands, over worlds, over an island clear as glass, with a castle on a hill, and a stone circle. So beautiful. Then the bubble popped, and he woke. Annika sat beside him on the bed, holding his hand. So hers was the first face he saw. And his first thought was, she was safe. He'd gotten her back.
Hush, don't try to speak yet. Bran made you sleep.
She brought his hand to her lips, pressed kisses to it, then to the wrist, still raw.
For healing. They hurt you. They hurt you.
Annika.
No, you should be quiet. Bran said to get him when you woke.
Wait. Just wait.
He started to sit up, despite her distress, and felt it.
Oh boy.
He felt the remnants of the torture.
You have pain. Bran said to have you drink this if you woke with pain.
Annika grabbed a small bottle from the nightstand.
It will help you sleep.
How long?
He had to clear his throat and breathe through the aches.
How long have I been out? Asleep, he explained.
You brought us back, it was night. And there was another night. And this is the day after. Not the morning, but after the noon. Please drink, Sawyer.
I've slept long enough.